this draft today and make any necessary changes, right, today, and then hold the bill over till Monday, and then we'll meet again Monday. We'll give us 48 hours to sleep on it, and if there's any last-minute changes, we can make it at that time. The AG, I'm talking to the AG last night, they will have a draft ready for conflict of interest dealing with the state employees on Monday, and that will be presented to the committee itself, and I appreciate the committee to look at that. And also we're going to be dealing next week, hopefully, with the code of ethics, and then the last thing we'll deal with is changes to the uniform rules, and that's basically what I have in mind. I know it's a lot of work, but we have the April 15th deadline to meet, and that's just around the corner. That's 6 days away.
Chairman, can I ask a question?
Representative Miller.
I meant to ask this yesterday, I just forgetful of something like that. I had thought we had made a decision that once the commission had met, investigated a report, made its decision, that the ingredients of that report then were public documents. Now, I didn't see that in yesterday's draft, but maybe I missed it, or maybe I'm just not getting it.
Representative Miller, I know we stopped page 9,
yes.
And it's the intent of the chair to continue from page 9 on to discuss those points. But what I want to do right now is to have Mr. Barrier take the witness stand and go section by section for the time being up to page 9, I believe it's 9. Yeah, page 9, line 12, dealing with the duties of the commission. And at least he can show us the changes we had made yesterday to make sure everybody's synchronized. And then when we get to page 9 down, I want to go section by section like we did yesterday.
Sure. I just wanted to tell you, I've got another problem.
It's going to take the cooperation of the whole committee to meet this schedule. Let the record show that the two ladies of the committee are Senator Stakes and Representative Locker just walked in. Okay, Mr. Barry, would you take the stand, please?
Yes. Let me start, Mr. Chairman, by pointing out a change I made that was not authorized or discussed by the
committee. Can't
object. I don't think you will.
Mr. Barry, would you state for the record your name and...
My name is Billy G. Barry, I'm Director of Legal Services for Legislative
and
Affairs.
And also which draft you're dealing with, so everybody knows what you're dealing with.
The 4-8 is the latest draft. Mr. Chairman.
Billy?
If you looked at yesterday's draft in 2460-02 of applicability, if you look at page 1, the line that starts on line 28 and extends over to line 1 on the second page, this chapter applies when a person looking to above has a direct beneficial interest in the matter. I put that in originally discussing with members of the Senate as correlative language to the change made in the conflict of interest section itself. So yesterday's draft, the 4783 draft.
Oh, it's here.
This chapter applies when a person listed above has a direct beneficial interest in the matter. As a matter of drafting, I put that in as correlative to the change that was made in the conflict of interest section. However, after talking with the advisor, and we discussed this yesterday and then again today, that is not a correlative change. It accomplishes something that I believe no one on the commission wanted to accomplish, and certainly not deliberately. It would make the spouse, for example, subject to the jurisdiction of the Ethics Commission. I think what the commission intended was to make the commission can act on its own, so what if I was a complaint?
No, you weren't kidding me, I think. And as I envision this, there seems to be a scheme in which the commission made a determination of the land use that Kelly was speaking of, that there is either an appearance of impropriety or in fact a substantial impropriety. That determination is already made. Let's say that I've asked for an opinion, and I get the opinion. Senator, either you are incompetent in your situation, or you have given an appearance of impropriety. Now I know I have a conflict of interest under one. All I can do, one of several things. If I deal with it by putting that information in the journal, what happens then? I know that there are criminal penalties, but is there anything else? What happens then? Is that the end? Is closed? Is the case closed? Because yesterday we were talking about how Representative Walker asked about how the public can go to the commission. But I'm saying the commission has already reported that the individual has a conflict.
Okay.
That process is over.
Yeah.
Now what happens?
Except then you've got page 11.
That's why I want to do the last three pages here.
If the person fails to comply with the advisory opinion, or the majority of members of the commission determine that probable cause for belief that violations of chapters occurred, the commission shall file a complaint.
And
then you go through the whole formal complaint thing, which ends up with, if it's a legislative order, it's turned over to the body. If it's a non-legislative order, it's turned over to the Attorney General.
But do we need language that says what the body can do? I mean, I know that the Constitution says we're the judge of qualifications, but should we have to have language that says that if a complaint is filed and the body acts as a tribunal, that the body, their procedures are... What the body does, I mean, how the body proceeds, what the rights of the charged person are, what kind of a hearing is provided, who can be summoned as witnesses before the body, don't we have to put some...
I think, Senator Joseph, that you don't have to address it. And I think if you want to address it, I'm working with this in great detail over a matter of several months in the very recent past. You're looking at a very, very long, difficult, complicated process.
Okay, I won't come.
Senator, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, what we envision is a simple beginning, a first step. Get it there, get everybody used to having this thing, and then if we need to get into the mechanism of how the body is going to take charge, then we can do that.
Question?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Barrier?
I'm wondering why.
Senator Kelly?
Chairman, I'm wondering why we're going to turn our employees over to the persons of the AG. Ourselves, because of the Constitution, the Constitution doesn't make our own judgments on its own movement. What is the problem with handling our conflict among our employees in our own bodies?
Well, Senator, I'd like to take care of that when we get to pages 9, 10, or 11. Just put that in the back of your mind and one count. Mr. Barry?
Mr. Chairman. The next change is an addition to Section 030, a new section, this Section 3 that appears in lines 2 through 5 of the last draft is deleted. A new section, which would be Section D, is added. A conflict, so that will, rather than read the thing, it's probably easier just to refer you to, in the new section, that's on the bottom of page 2, starting at 28, to add the top of page 3.
So on the 4-8 draft, starting with page 2, lines 28 and 29, going on to page 3, lines 1 through 3, or
that's
the new section.
Then section 2460.040 relatively substantially rewritten. What it does in effect was concept that you just listed gives less than $100. The new language reads, the new language reads that a person may not solicit a gift or accept or receive. So you can't solicit a gift in any amount under this. Under 080B in transportation that you may accept. Water transportation is added.
Okay.
Under the nepotism section, the new language, it was added the net effect is of a member may not be employed by one of the established agencies, nor may be employed by the other house during the interim. Only representation under 108.6.
That nepotism issue is one we also waited to flag it, but we have to finish. Some remaining policy questions.
For me, this is very tight.
I would just like to say that I don't remember any reasoning that went into the fact that they could not work for the other house during the interim. Did I miss something yesterday?
No, you didn't. Let's just flag it. We'll come back.
Yes, we did. The argument was cast in terms of
displaced person coming down to be with a spouse in Juneau and having nothing to do here.
Right, be allowed to work.
Right.
Yes, during the session, but we didn't mean to cut them out during.
Senator Kelly did.
Well,
I'm glad that's
well. Great. But Chair will just, we'll just go ahead and flag it, and then we'll discuss that one later. I guess it'll be a policy decision. Ms. Barron?
2461 under, which is on page 6, line 21 of yesterday's bill. I made the representation section applicable to everyone to whom this chapter applies. The decision was that should be limited to members of the legislature, and if my suggestion limitation also remained applicable to people in Harshaw. I made several correlative changes later in the session.
Senator Justin, is that the intent? I remember yesterday that you had brought that point up about representation for the bodies.
Sure.
On page 5, 6. Minus 27, representation by legislators.
Yeah.
I don't remember all the details, but you had pointed out some potential conflicts or problems with that.
Well, this language meets what I thought was a fair compromise.
Okay.
Briefly, it still allows an executive to practice before the municipal agency, and it allows them to practice in court, so it excludes the appearance of the court administrative. Some of my lawyer friends may not think that's fair, but I think it's best I can do.
Steve Barrier.
On page 7, line 8, dispose of the matter was changed to the best interest of that. There was a reference change on lines 15 and 16 to take out the string. And there was a change on line 17. May not use state property or funds for personal or campaign purposes. Personal was deleted and private gain was substituted.
That was the Kelly amendment.
On page 8, a new section D was inserted. Which now appears on the new draft as D underlines 2023 on page 8. The point that was the provision that the commission shall elect a chairman and vice chairman, may decision should be made public after a certain period of time. All decisions should be made public. I can draft that. And I think those are essentially three reasonable alternatives. And I can draft either of those from a policy basis.
Well, Senator Joseph, let's just see. Let's review where we are.
Okay. I'm willing to speak myself.
Go ahead.
I feel that if a decision is made by the commission, and I think we have to use this term rather delicately as to whether because we have to decisions, advisory opinion, and informal advisory opinion, at least those kind of things, but the decision is made. But the result of that decision should be in the public domain, whether inculpatory or exculpatory, good or bad to the individual. So obviously, although one might prefer to have nothing said about it, if you are found to be, if you have a certificate of good conduct, there's nothing wrong with that. No, I mean, it's like the fellow who says, I know I'm saying that I have a certificate from ABI to prove it. You don't have to. If there is, but I do not want the records, proceedings, or rationale of the commission on public domain. I think that becomes harassment.
Shall be in writing and signed by four members of the commission. The decision shall contain a statement of facts determined to constitute the violation and may contain recommendations for certain penalties. And then all decisions of the commission are public records, and then go back and change the parts of the conflict with that. Does that seem to be pretty cool? Please think about it.
I wasn't paying attention.
I'm sorry.
There was a lot of distractions.
I apologize.
What you would do is provide that the decision of the commission shall contain a statement of facts determined. Shall contain a statement of facts. And the conclusions of the commission.
But discussion about not being able to make a decision. The legislature had a problem making a decision because of all the public pressure, and that they should have a length of time without that public pressure to make their decision. The public being served, because when it's all over, they can see what went into the decision of wrongdoing, they can see what the legislature did to solve the problem and make a judgment.
Okay.
Being new and not knowing how this works, so I must yield to my colleagues who have been here. Is it possible for the legislature to go into executive session for several times and not have any leaks of information?
I will have to be re-written. We must determine if we're missing if you want a 30-day thing. Those will be the two major changes, and there may be some correlative changes, but I'm not, I would go back to it in a while.
Just a couple of points here I want to bring out. Yesterday, right after the meeting, Senator Jakes and I were discussing the legislative employees. And it's our feeling that we should have an amendment here. This is the committee members. Anybody with range, say, 16 or under should be exempt from this disclosure law. Just we're dealing with the pages, the cooks over here in the lounge, or the mail people downstairs, or documents people. I don't think they have that much influence in the legislature as far as policy decisions are concerned. You know, if you have objections, you know.
I mean, it, well, I think we need to go to a 19. We're talking about people that might have a policy. Below a 19, I suspect that they could say something.
Okay, what position would you, let's just not deal with the range, let's deal with positions. What positions would you suggest?
For example, professional assistants at range 21.
So you're suggesting range 19 and below.
No, 18. 18
and below.
Mr. Barrier.
I'm trying to think of the classifications of our office. I have some trouble. I would think that I was thinking somewhat along the same line, just telling that something like an 18 with things in our office would be appropriate, because when you get, you would start there. In my office, you would be including my special assistant, Lynn Barnes. You would be including my legal editor, and all of the librarians, which I think would include all of the people that really should be included if you made it about an 18.
Mr. Perry,
the 16, you start bringing in secretaries.
Why don't I just make this suggestion then? Since we, you know, we really don't have all the information before us as far as the ranges are concerned, why don't we do agree at least on cutting it off at a certain range level or a certain position. So what I'm going to suggest is maybe do some research work on the employees. Maybe I'm talking about not the individual employees, number of slots, and I'm sure personnel has it, and see, you know, what ranges and where they are.
I understand what you want, because we've got all the information like that in the Senate right now. Oh, yeah. And I can probably just about tell you what you need to know. Because
okay. It's fine with me, you know, but I just want to make sure that we are, you know, not hitting, disenfranchising some people unknowingly. Senator Joseph,
I have a couple of matters that I'm concerned about.
Okay, can we?
Oh,
range 19?
How about 17? Researchers, the way they do the research, the way they go about it, the what they find or don't find could be influential. Researchers certainly not the secretary level. I mean, they are, in some cases, you've got a highly qualified person there that just because of circumstances happens to be range 17.
Well, see, the reason I'm bringing this out is that this all not only affects our own legislative employees, we have people down here, legislative affairs agency, House research, and the attorneys over here. And frankly, I don't think any of us know exactly what ranges are down there.
But you can do it by ranges and salary equivalents. You can say anyone who has either a range 17 or that salary equivalent and below is exempt. And that's your hit number.
If I think you just put the loud people down here.
Yeah. See, that's, I'd like to have the information in front of me, and then we'll make that sort of Senator Joseph.
Can I go ahead?
Well, we got to do the policy decision here.
Why is this so tough, Mr. Chairman, to make? Just tell him that you don't want the lounge people and to draft it without them.
Yeah,
make
that's
back 17 and make them back 18. Then
that's precisely what I'm talking about. Is that we may be getting people that we don't even know about.
I've got a small but with that suggestion. I watched with the research, which is you're starting to run into a fair tide of money. Because I'm not going to personally go out and do this.
That's right.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. I would opt to make it. Oh, I didn't have the accident.
discussion? Objection? Motion passes. Okay, now I want to go back to the Mr. Miller.
Yeah, I still would like to eliminate E on page four.
That's what we're getting for.
Okay, good.
Okay. Now, hopefully, this is. But it's the intent of the chair to go back to the flag areas. We have three flag areas, which include your concern, Mr. Miller, and the other space.
Just give it to us.
The one that you're, you can't participate in any programs.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Senator, consultation with Senator Figgs, it's our belief that subsection G adequately covers the matter. It's a sunshine provision. Requires annual audits of all of those loans and a report, a public report, or a report to the Ethics Commission by the Division of Fiscal Audit. In that light, I do not see the need for subsection E.
Well, let me, with that statement here, I want to deal with page three first. All right. Looks like the committee's disgruntled. Let's deal with page four then. I need a motion then.
I move we delete E.
All those in favor? Raise your hand.
Opposed. Just a minute here. What is this? Railroading?
Discussion.
All right. Okay, just a second here. When I went over this on the airplane and looked at it, I really like G. I think what Legislative Budget and Audit does, with the few audits that I've seen so far sitting on that particular committee, I think the fact that they're going to audit these loans once a year and report to the commission is going to take care of E. Because anybody who's foolish enough to have that potential conflict there or let everybody know, I think it's going to be picked up at G. So without anybody telling me, without any pressure, I came up with it all by myself, that G would take care of E in my mind.
I think you're exactly right.
But we'll give a few minutes there. Discussion.
Now, if something happens to G, I'm not going to be happy.
I still oppose the motion, however, I'll take back the railroad.
Those all in favor of the motion as opposed to Representative Miller, signify raising the right hand. All those opposed to the motion? Passes 4-1. Yeah, I'd like to get back to page 2-3, lines 11. We're dealing with the percentage of the. Well, that's what I tried to get to the question. You guys are uprising here. I need a motion on that. You know,
Mr. Chairman, I move that the percentage be no greater than 10%.
Representative Locker proposes a 10% amendment. Discussion?